When I initially was prompted to speak on the Human Right to Water Day, I was not really sure what to say. I read more and thought about the prompt of my relationship to water. It became clear what I needed to say. I come from New Bedford, Massachusetts, an area of Massachusetts known as the Whaling City. The story of Moby Dick even takes place in New Bedford, and it is known for its history as a major port. When people would take boats out to hunt whales, we even have a whole museum dedicated to this piece of our history. The city smells like the sea as a result. The smell is low tide. You know, the salt of the sea, the fish of the sea, the seaweed of the sea. Not the most attractive scent. But to me, the water, the sea, is home. Sometimes the water is calming. Sometimes it is disruptive. And sometimes we are meant to wade in that water, not to let it move us, not to be deterred, but to feel it pull us and not give in. We are sometimes called to stay, to wait, to be. But for me, I always call her home. For that is what water is to me. Now think back to your first experience of water. Drinking, swimming, splashing in puddles, bathing, showering, cleaning, raining, spilling, squirting water guns at other kids. Now think to your most recent experience of water. What was it like? What was its taste or smell? Was it clean? Did you have a doubt that it would be? Was it easy for you to find it? Do you ever think about water that much? Ironically, even during the time that I have been considering this service, I was being made aware of the water in my life. The water in my apartment where I live in Georgetown had been tasting a bit odd. It kept smelling like chlorine. Not ideal. But it tasted regular. I grew up swimming in the water of the YMCA pools, so I was familiar with the smell of chlorine. In fact, it has a calming impact on me. I thought, this is Georgetown. If the water is bad in this neighborhood, we would be notified promptly and they would fix it as fast as possible. And I was heard. We would be notified as fast as possible. So I knew it must just be me, since I had not seen or heard anything. During that same week at work, where I like to drink a lot of water, I was on the phone speaking to a parishioner, and as I was speaking, my throat became dry. My voice became cracking, and I was having trouble breathing because it was too dry. And so I coughed and ran over to the water cooler, which had barely any water. I had just enough to finish the call and call up to the person who replenishes the water at work. I found out that we would not have water in the lower level till Thursday that week. I was about to get annoyed, thinking, how was I going to make it without water? And then I caught myself. How often do we have a lost water bottle or Nalgene? Have you had tap water to drink as the only option at a restaurant? I mean, really, what is that? Or at someone's home. Or you found yourself disappointed. Not to say that this is not worth being disappointed. It is. But we must be mindful. Do you know that nearly 1 billion people lack access to safe water? Did you know that 2.5 billion people do not have adequate water sanitation? More people have access to cell phones than a toilet. More people have access to a cell phone than a toilet. What's worse is how to fix this problem is not nearly as expensive as you may think. According to a 2006 United Nations Development Program report called Beyond Scarcity, Power, Poverty, and the Global Water Crisis, Every $1 spent on clean water and sanitation sector creates an average of another $8 in costs averted and productivity gained. The Unitarian Universalist Service Committee's goal is to ensure sustainability to safe access, sufficient and affordable water to every person by enriching the human right to water into law, internationally, nationally, statewide, and locally. The UUSC works to do environmental justice and mobilize activists to hold government, agencies, and socioeconomic elites accountable for water rights violation. They have many partners, including globally in Ecuador, South Africa, and Tanzania, and have won amazing victories in the defense and promotion of the human right to water. The Color of Water Project, partnering with Massachusetts Global Action in Boston, Massachusetts, has done a great deal of research on the human right to water, including challenging the disproportionate number of water shutoffs in low-income areas of the city. So then I began to wonder about people who have access to water. 3.575 million people die every year from water-related disease. The water and sanitation crisis claims more lives through disease than any war claims by guns. Water disease is killing people more than guns. People in low-income housing often pay 5 to 10 times per liter of water than wealthy people living in the same city. An American taking a 5-minute shower, only 5 minutes, that's all, uses more water than the average person in a developing country slum uses for an entire day. These facts are not numbers simply to Google or information to fill up on for entertainment. These are people's lives. These are people not having access to a resource that one of us, most of us, take for granted. We assume all the faucets will work, that our showers will reach the right temperature, and rarely worry. So what is being done? In November 2002, the Committee on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights adopted the General Comment Number 15 on the right to water. Article 1-1 states that the human right to water is indispensable for leading a life in human dignity. It is a prerequisite for the realization of other human rights. It continues to define the right to water as the right everyone has to sufficient, safe, acceptable, and physically accessible and affordable water for personal and domestic uses. On July 28, 2010, the United Nations General Assembly recognized the right to water and sanitation and access to clean drinking water and sanitation as a human right. It calls states and international organizations to fiscally support resources and efforts to, particularly to developing countries, to give safe, clean, accessible, and affordable drinking water and sanitation to all. So now that it's acknowledged as a right, what is adequate? What is just? What is compassionate? What is equitable for water for people to have? Sufficient amount of water is 50 to 100 liters a day. Safe water means safe from microorganisms, chemicals, and radiological hazards. Physically accessible water should be within 1,000 meters of home, educational facilities, and workplace. And it should be affordable, which means 3% of the household income should go to water. These things may seem logical, adequate, reasonable realities, but I name them because they are not. Just the same as we should know that we should be more knowledgeable about the people who lack the water. So what are the UUs doing about this? Well, in California, thanks to the UU Legislation Ministry of California, they helped to push into law of 4 bills. It was a bill bundle, a little bit like an electronic device type of bundle. But it was better for the long term and for the environment. AB 983 helped communities access money for drinking water systems. AB 122 helped people to be eligible for already allocated clean-up funds of their water. 38 helped people to know what was in their water. Imagine having the money for water systems, getting your water clean, and knowing what's in your water for those times in between. The fourth bill was about sustainability. SB 244 requires cities to develop plans to provide service to small communities because every community should have water that is clean and safe. Over 550 Unitarian Universalist Service Committee members from 37 states thanked the UU Legislative Ministry of California for all the work that they did. There are still battles to fight in our own communities, and in California, they're working on the AB 685, Human Right to Water Bill, for all those who lack access to drinking water and sanitation throughout the world. It is important for all of us. I do not know if any of you have ever had to deal with unclean water. Not when on vacation or visiting somewhere, but in your home. I have. Briefly in a few summers ago, when I was in Western Massachusetts, our water systems were exposed to E. coli. This made people have a number of gastrointestinal diseases and sicknesses. The water was deemed as unfit to drink and even brush your teeth with. I was living on my college campus at the time. We were told that we could only cook with the water if we boiled it for about 30 minutes. For a certain amount of time, we were all very worried and uncertain of what to do. We were a bunch of young college women. Most of us have never lived in a country or a neighborhood even where you could not access or have adequate drinking water. We would have conversations where one girl would share that she wanted to wash her face, but she was scared of consuming the water. Others needed comforting after having showered and briefly opened their mouth, uncertain of if the water had somehow entered. We were lucky we lived in a college campus that provided us with cases of bottled water to get us through the summer. We were lucky that this was a novelty, not a reality of our lives. The college did not know how long it would take to clean the water, but we knew it would be cleaned. But being exposed to the uncertainty of the safety of something so basic that we rarely notice how often we use it is eye-opening. It was eye-opening how many times, how many ways water impacted us. Now, we were just a bunch of college students in a typical college in Western Massachusetts. We knew we would be fine. There were only a few students who were from other countries where they had unsafe water or unsanitary water. But it was a hard and scary time for the majority of us because this was new to us. I cannot imagine knowing that deadly waters were simply a reality you had to deal with. Imagine trying to make a difference, trying to make sure no child, no teen, no mother, no father, no grandparents, no person go through that for even a day. Water access and the toxicity of it should not be a reason why people die. It should not be an acceptable reality for anyone. It is not an okay pill to swallow. It is not a bridge that just simply needs to be crossed over, as if troubled waters are reasonable. This is a problem for far too many people, for any person to go through. This Human Right to Water Day, think, if your body is a temple, if part of your body is made up of water, and water is something that sustains it, maybe cleaning it, testing it, accessing it is necessary. If you cannot find the door to the temple, if it is consumed by something toxic or surrounded by murkiness, what does that mean of the sacred temple we claim to love? Let the temple swim in clear waters. We must let the doors be open and accessible. We must clean the temple of toxicity that can harm it. Go another step still. All temples, all people should be safe and have safe water. For all temples, all places of worship, and all people are sacred, like the water that is within us and the water that we consume. It sustains us. It nourishes us. It is home. It is who we are. It is sacred and holy and flowing for justice. Amen, Ashe, blessed be.